for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, May the 23rd, 1998. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the speaker of the afternoon.
But the one thing I learned is that you vary everything by Scripture. And when they got through, I'd written it all down, and I came down to see Brother Glenn with it. I said, Glenn, this is what happened to me. What do you think? And Glenn said, I think it's of God. Look like you've been reading this new book we got on from Derek Prince. And it's all in him. Apparently, Derek had the same series of visions, because it's all in him. It's an understanding of curses and the way curses, the spoken word, works in your life. I can talk for hours on the spoken word because the Bible says in Matthew that you're going to be judged by every idle word that comes out of your mouth. If that don't scare you, it should. It scared me when it really got down into my spirit. It should make you be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Let the Spirit show you what to speak. Don't answer quickly. Measure your words by the Spirit and by the Word of God. This is a good book. I recommend it to everyone. When Brother Glenn said, we need to take an offering.
Hallelujah.
You know, let's all stand up, please. I like to feel that when we open in prayer that everybody's praying with me. And I don't pray very well sitting down. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's praise Him a little bit. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, you inhabit the praises of your people, Lord. Oh, Lord, you're enthroned in the praises of your people, Lord. Oh, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, Jesus. 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 Lord Jesus, we come to you now, Lord God. We just come to you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to open your word to us, Lord, as we look into your word, Lord. Make it rhema to us. Make it life to us, Lord. Go down into our spirit and bear witness, Lord God, that we can go forth, Lord, and we can go forth, Lord, and live out your word. We can live it out that people can see it in our lives. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's look in Luke chapter 3. Chapter 4, I'm sorry. Chapter 4, verse 8. There's a principle here. And here's Jesus is talking to Satan. And Jesus answered him and said to him. Verse 7, he said, therefore, if you will worship me. Well, in verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this authority. Well, go back to chapter 5. Verse 5. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all this will be yours. Now, a lot of pastors will tell you the devil was lying there, but I ain't found a place in the Scripture that he's lying. They presume that he's lying. They make that emphasis, but the Scripture doesn't say that. It says the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one in 1 John. Okay. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get behind me, Satan. It says, you follow after me, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Now, what the inference there I want you to realize is that whatever you worship, you will serve. There are two authorities in this system. There's the authority of the world system that we live in. And Satan says that's been delivered to him. And keep your finger there. Let's go look at 1 John chapter 4 so you can see it here in. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, we know that we are all of God, and the whole world, that's the world system, lies in the lap of the wicked one. And the New King James says, lies in the sway of. And so, there are two authorities. There's the authority of heaven. Jesus Christ is Lord of this world. He's Lord of this earth. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. But he has to bow to Jesus Christ. And the authority vested in the world system comes from the evil one. Now, you're going to have to decide which authority you're going to worship. Are you going to worship the world and the lust thereof, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? Or are you going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him your sanctification, your redemption, your wisdom, knowledge, and power? For it says in 1 Corinthians that Jesus is the wisdom of God, the power of God, and He is our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. And of God we have been placed in Him. The Father placed us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the earth. We were crucified with Him. I don't want to get into that now, but I want you to see that you're going to worship one or the other. You're going to serve one or the other. You can't sit on that fence. You sit on the fence, you're going to serve Him. And the degree and how much authority will the world have in your life? Just as much as you serve it and worship it, this amount of authority will have in your life. Now today, Glenn asked me to talk about the occult. The occult is a Greek word which means hidden or secret. And we're going to talk about, and so you have to understand the authority set up. The legitimate authority over your life is the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. And He communicates to you through the Holy Spirit. Everything comes from the Father, through Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, to you by grace. And it is appropriated by faith. The illegitimate authority is the unholy spirit. Now, who is the unholy spirit? It is listed in 1 Timothy. Now, let's look over at 1 Timothy, chapter 4. You'll all agree this is the latter time. This latter time, Brother Tommy? Okay. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy and having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And so there are going to be people out there who have listened to the unholy spirit and become deceived. And they had their conscience seared with a hot iron so that they don't believe what they're doing is wrong anymore. Their conscience doesn't hurt them when they sin. Their conscience is dull. It's got a hole burned in it. This is what happens. Well, when you have a young man who is seduced into homosexuality, first time he is seduced in, he feels a little guilty about it. But he goes back and he gets on drugs. They quite frequently use speed in the bathhouses, a good bit of alcohol. And he gets seduced again. And about the second or third time, that demon will take a hot iron and brand his conscience. And all of a sudden, he don't think it's wrong anymore. And he's rabid out in the street. And as that conscience is seared, because he develops what's called a reprobate mind. And then he's rabid in the street saying, I was born this way. I got a right to do what I want to with my body. Ain't nothing wrong with it. And so forth and so forth. And I won't go into all the foul things I've heard them say. But they've had their conscience seared, so they no longer feel guilty. They no longer have that check. And that'll happen to you if you allow the enemy to consistently seduce you into something you know it's wrong, but you like to do it anyway. Your flesh says do it anyway. You know it's wrong, but your flesh says do it. I want to. You see this with people who steal. They steal from the employer. They steal money out of the cash box. First couple of times, three or four times. Before long, they got a right. They feel like they got a right to steal it. They're being oppressed. They're being discriminated against. They've been stolen from. They're only taking what's really theirs. And they can find 1,000 excuses to justify continued stealing. And after a while, it's no longer stealing. They're just taking what's theirs. And when they get caught, then they weep and cry and go to court and say it's because they were discriminated against. We recently had the treasurer of the Episcopal Church steal $2 or $3 million. She and her family lived in fabulous luxury. They finally caught her. She said it was because she was a woman, and this was a male-dominated church, and they had discriminated against her as a woman and oppressed her, and that was the reason she took it, because she was being abused. And that was her defense in court. And you know, she almost got away with it. Praise the Lord. I don't actually know what happened. I lost track of the proceedings. It didn't make the newspapers, you know. The newspapers don't care something like that. If it had been a group of Pentecostals trying to close an abortion center, people trying to close an abortion center, standing for the unborn, you'd have seen the most uncomplimentary coverage, I can assure you. A bunch of people trying to play on the steps of the Capitol or something, you'd have seen all type of coverage, but not something like that. Well, praise God. Deception enters in, seducing spirits. Okay, and the more you serve it, the stronger the hold the evil spirit has on you as you continue to yield. If you look at John, we covered these scriptures yesterday on the bondage. But let's look at John 8:34 again, just to refresh your memory. Now, we said that in John 8:34, Jesus says, a slave does not abide in the... 34 says, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And that word slave comes from the word to bind. If you look at 2 Peter 2:19, just look over there. 2 Peter is right before John, 1 John, right before Revelation, almost at the end of the book. We're talking about false prophets here, 2:19. While they promise themselves liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, are bound by corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him he is also brought into bondage or slavery or captivity or binding. The more you yield to it, the more ligaments and binds it puts on you until it's bound you till you have to serve it. It's made you a slave. It takes over. And you will find that as you yield to the Spirit, you see this a lot with rage or anger. A man who is using rage or anger as witchcraft to manipulate the people around him, he will become so angry that he will do things and that he doesn't remember. And he uses his anger to intimidate people to give him his way. So, gosh, don't get him upset. Give him whatever he wants. Don't get him upset because, man, he just goes crazy when he gets angry. And that demon of anger takes over. He is yielded to that to the point he's so bound by it, he thinks it's himself. He doesn't even remember. And quite often, and when that thing manifests in deliverance and you begin to bind it, then you have to call that person back because they have yielded to this thing so often. If they're so depressed and you cast that thing out, then you've got to call them back. Come back! Because they're way down. You can call them back. But they've yielded to it and they have no idea of what happened. They don't remember. Because they've yielded to that thing. They think it's part of them. That thing has bound them so tightly. And the more you yield to it, you see this with alcoholics who become alcoholics and they have blackout spells and they'll wander around for 2 days and don't know where they are. They won't necessarily be drunk. They'll just be wandering around and doing things and being very rational, writing checks with their handwriting, spending money, and they have absolutely no remembrance of it. It's a demon that's been in charge all this time. Now, in the occult, it is divided into three parts. There's witchcraft. Webster's New International Dictionary defines witchcraft as the ability to control people or supernatural events through contract with evil spirits or with demonic forces. Now, witchcraft, for a general thing you can say about witchcraft, you can say intimidation, manipulation, control. Men being larger, stronger, tend to intimidate. They just rise up and get angry and have anger and fits of rage and anger in an effort to intimidate their employees, intimidate their children, intimidate their wives. Women will tend to manipulate. They will manipulate their husbands, manipulate their children, manipulate their family or those people around them. I remember one lady had migraine headaches. And when things didn't go in the house like she wanted to, she got a migraine headache. And she went to bed. And I tell you, that house, I mean, everybody tiptoed around. Oh, she got a migraine headache. And she controlled that house. Anything she didn't want done, she got a convenient headache and went to bed. And boy, I mean, you better not talk about the bubble. Whoosh, boy, that lady was on you like white on rice. And poor lady, she had migraine headaches. She rule that roost. Don't get mother upset. She'll get a migraine headache. Make our life miserable for 3 days. Now, those are two examples. I could sit and give you 50 others. But that is witchcraft. And when you yield to that witchcraft demon over and over and over again, he controls you. You can have an employee decides that they don't like an employee. They don't like a fellow employee. And they just get critical. Can't fire them because they really don't do anything wrong. But they can get so unpleasant to them that they can drive them off. You know? Just be so unpleasant that the people will just eventually leave. That's witchcraft. I tell you, if you do that, you pay a terrible price, though. Because when you start using witchcraft to manipulate other people, you open yourself to the curse of witchcraft. And bring in things like high blood pressure, heart attacks, strokes, cancer. All kind of infirmity spirits can come in if you practice witchcraft. I've known a number of witches that had one lady who had signed a contract with Satan in her own blood. She'd been in the mental hospital twice, and she'd had cancer twice. She'd dedicate her life to Satan. He mistreats his people something terrible. He hates them just as bad as he hates you. You yield to him, he'll have fun with you. What he wants to do is kill you as slowly and as painfully as possible. That's what he wants to do to you. He wants to kill you. He won't kill you fast. He wants to kill you slowly and painfully, and in a way that will degrade you as a human being and in the image of God. He hates God. Now remember, he hates God. He got in a fight with God once, and he got whooped. And he knows he can't beat God, but he can beat his image. That's you. You're made. Do you know what the Hebrew word image means has come down into modern language to mean? It means to have your photograph taken. The same Hebrew word that's in Genesis for let us make them in our likeness and image. Image is the same word today that means to have your photograph taken. It hasn't changed in 5,000 years. Have your picture taken. You are the spitting image of God. Never time the devil looks at you, he thinks about it when he got whooped. And he said, boy, I'll fix it. Are you there? What you think of your image now? That's what the devil has in store for you. You trade at the devil's counter. That's his plan. That's his plan for you. Don't trade with him. Don't deal with him. All right, first is witchcraft. Next is sorcery. Sorcery is the control of people or supernatural events or people through the use of music, drugs, talisman, aliments, and curses. You have to understand witchcraft uses curses too. What is a talisman? Webster's New World Dictionary defines a talisman as a metal, not necessarily metal, can be stone, with an image engraved on it. It has an image engraved, and the engraved image supposed to give power. Like a medal, you know. Ever seen one of these little medals? I used to have one I kept on my key ring, you know. It had a picture of a man with a stick, you know, and was supposed to protect me when I drove down the street. Any of y'all ever had one of those? That's a talisman. That's what you're depending to protect you. That is sorcery. Folks wear them around their neck. Got all kind of cute little things they wear around their neck, you know. You know that little wiggly thing, you know, that little thing looked like a crooked stick that's wiggly. You know what that is? That's an Italian horn. It means I'd spend on Satan for my finances. That's what it means. Well, I didn't know that. I just thought that was, you know, it looked cute to me, and I didn't know it. That's what it meant. It didn't. Well, I hope you enjoyed wearing it, because you done cursed yourself and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren by wearing it. But that ain't fair. Oh, really? Well, you know, I was going down the street the other day, and there's a light up there. It had a red one, a green one, and a yellow one. I sort of like red, you know. And I rode, even when red came on, I said, it's my color, boy. And I just rode. There was a man there that had some things on top of his car, lights flashing. And I explained to him that I liked red, and that looked like my color. But, you know, he wrote out this piece of paper. And I had to go down, and the judge was most unsympathetic. Need to know, people. Word says my people perish for lack of knowledge. Hosea says my people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, there is a remedy, you know. If you have done this, you can ask God to break the curse on you and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. You don't have to carry that curse, but that curse is real. It's very real. You don't have to believe me. Believe the Bible. I can show it to you 50 places in the Bible. Well, let's go on. Today we're going to talk about divination. Now, divination, the first two portions of the occult are for power. Divination is for knowledge. Now, man's always wanting to know. Man's an innately curious person, just innately curious. Always want to know. Adam and Eve got tempted to eat the tree. The devil convinced them that God was withholding his best from them because he wouldn't let them eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, boy, if you eat of that, you know as much as God. Really, I know. Yeah, you'll be like God. You'll know everything. God's withholding his best. He's rejected you. He hadn't given you, and she rejected the word of God and ate it. And that was the original sin, was rejection. Of course, the competing sin with rejection is rebellion. They just like brother and sister. They just like. Rejection came in. Rebellion came in. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Rebellion comes in. Bitterness come in. Rebellion and bitterness mean the same thing. Marah, same word. And so, in Genesis 1:17, we read about the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. Now, if you read regular magazines, you'll see ads offering memberships and organizations to give you the power and knowledge which have been hidden by the rich and the powerful. And this appeal has been used by heathen people for years. The Sharmans. I talked to you about Harry S. I didn't talk to y'all, but I talked to the men about Harry. Harry S. was a Sharman who lived down the road from me when I was a little boy. And I was always fascinated by Harry. Harry could divine everything but the poker cards. He couldn't divine the poker cards. Everybody thought he was a rich man. He had people come from 100 miles away for healing. And you know, in the late 30s and the early 40s, that's a long way. And I seen men give him 50 cents for a reading. That was a day, that's what we paid a laborer for, to chop cotton all day long. From 4 in the morning to about 11 o'clock, and then you rest in the barn till about 4, and then you chop till about 7. 50 cents a day. Give him 50 cents for a reading. And Harry read, he was a diviner. He was a diviner. He was a shaman. He was a hoodoo. He was a witch doctor. I saw him point the box at a girl and she died. I've seen two people die. One, when I saw Harry point the box at this girl and she died. The other one was when I was a physician. I went home and A former classmate of mine asked me to see a young lady he had in the hospital, and she was dying. I talked to her family, and they told me the hoodoo from the neighboring town had put the hex on her, put a curse on her. I said, well, go pay him, take it off, was my answer. They said, we don't have that kind of money. He said, we don't have enough money. We can't raise it. And I've forgotten now. And when she won several thousand dollars, which was a lot of money at that time. That girl took 3 days and she just up and died. We posted that body. We looked every place, toxicology, everything. We could find no reasonable exclamation for her death. She died. She just sort of balled up in a roll, rolled over, and died. We were given IV fluids. We had a well hydrated. She just sort of rolled over and died. This happens in Australia. It happens in lots of places. It's powerful. Now, people say that she's scared to death. Well, just scared to death. If you don't believe it, it won't happen. I can tell you, I can let you talk to some missionaries who've been to New Guinea. And they'll say to you, if you're not a believer and you go over there, and the witch doctor takes after you, and he'll kill you. There was a young man who was in New Guinea, and he told me that when he first got there, that there was a great revival in the village. And the witch doctor came to him and said, you have to understand that I make my living as a shaman. And they paid me to curse you, to kill you, because you're upsetting the status quo within the village. I sent my most powerful demons. They came back and told me that you had a more powerful spirit that protected you. See, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Anytime they said they're a witch, they come to the wizard, they come to the missionary and say, you got a strong spirit. And I do. The witches will say, you got a strong spirit. You say, that's right. That's right, I do. Greater is he who is in you than he is who is in the world. And he said, but don't ever grieve that spirit so he'll leave. Because if he do, my demons will kill you. He said he grieved him twice. Once he just got into a knockdown drag out with his wife. And went to bed mad. They just got mad and they had a knockdown drag out over something. And he went to bed mad and they got up the next day mad. And they just stayed mad and said, he got sicker than a dog. When he repented, he got well. Next time he got into a fight with one of his elders, same thing. If you go into rebellion or sin, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Remember that. In Isaiah, it says that they grieve the Holy Spirit by going into rebellion. Oh, Lord Jesus, where is that? That's Isaiah 50. Where is it, Tommy? Is it 63? It's Isaiah 63, yeah. 63:10. Thank you. You know, it's nice to have Tommy here. He always remembers. The price of rebellion, Isaiah 63:10. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. And he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. Praise you, Lord God. Well, the use of familiar spirits to obtain knowledge or bend other people to your will or control events is the basis of the occult. We talked about a familiar spirit. What is a familiar spirit? I told the men today in the men's meeting that I made a study of this, and in the Old Testament, there are a number of references to familiar spirits. In the New Testament, there is no reference to a familiar spirit. And I couldn't understand this, and I read a lot of books that came out that talked about familiar spirits. When I got through reading them, I didn't know anymore. I saw all the Old Testament, but I didn't see any. I didn't have a basis for understanding, a rational basis. I like to have to know how things work so I can reason it out and understand it. And I didn't have a rational, reasonable. And one night, the Spirit of God spoke to me on my night bed. I sat straight up when he spoke to me. He said, a familiar spirit. Is a spirit through which you can manifest supernatural power. It's a spirit that you're familiar with, through which you can manifest supernatural power. That makes sense. The fortune teller has a spirit they're familiar with that they're able to tell you about your past and predict some things about the future. The charmer, Harry S., was able to, he had a familiar spirit that he was able to tell people where they lost things and how to find things. He could manifest a healing. You go to the Christian Science practitioner, they have a familiar spirit through which they can heal you. They'll give you a demon. They'll take your migraine headaches and give you a brain tumor. They'll take your stomach ulcer and give you cancer of the colon. It'll be 5, 6, 7 years, maybe 10 before it manifests. I tell you one thing, You get healed by one of them. It is very difficult to bring those people to salvation. If you're saved and you get healed by one of them, you'll lose all your faith. Unbelief will come in and you will never be able to stand in faith for anything. You won't be able to understand the Word. It'll steal it all from you until you renounce that healing and get rid of that demon. The people in the mission field say if they ever have one of their people go to the shaman and get healed, he's never able to stand in faith again. Never able to stand in faith again. Always doubting. So that's a familiar spirit. Now, all of you have a familiar spirit through which you manifest supernatural power. Its name is the Holy Spirit. That's the reason the term familiar spirit is not used in the New Testament. You all are familiar with the Holy Spirit. And you all have a gift of the Holy Spirit through which you can manifest supernatural power. The Bible says each one of you have your own gift. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians. And so, but you have to be able to differentiate between the Holy Spirit and the unholy spirit, because for every spiritual gift there's a counterfeit. And that's another teaching. I won't go into that. I have a tape back there on familiar spirits in which we go into it. I went into it with the men this afternoon. I gave my handout from Derek Prince and Brother Hagin. When Brother said he's going to teach it, I said, fine, you be sure and give Brother Prince and Brother Hagin credit for it. Please don't say Bill Null. This is Bill Null's teaching, because I came out of the book and out of a series of tapes. It's a good teaching. It's right on. But God didn't show it to me. I can't claim that he showed it to me. Let's look at Deuteronomy 18. In Deuteronomy 18, you will see probably the most complete listing of forbidden practices. And I want you to start reading with verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Now, these are practices. The abominations are detestable acts that these nations do. Okay? You shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. That's child sacrifice. Abortion. Anyone who practices witchcraft. A soothsayer. Okay? An interpreter of omens or a sorcerer. A soothsayer is a diviner. A fortune teller. A interpreter of omens is somebody is an astrologer who looks at the sky and makes these omens in the sky. A sorcerer is someone who uses music or drugs. The Greek word for sorcerer is pharmakomichi, from which we get our modern word pharmacy. One who conjures spells, that's a curse caster. A medium, is a medium, someone who has a familiar spirit, comes into them and talks through them. A spiritualist, about the same thing. Or one who calls up the dead, or one who worships the dead, a necromancer. How many of you people have relatives that worship the dead? Worship dead folks, Y'all don't know anybody who worships dead folks? Just remember, Jesus Christ is alive. He's the only one that's come back from the dead. Everybody else that died is still dead. And people that I carried that piece of metal around about this ancient good man who was supposed to protect me during my travel. And there are churches that have a whole list of good dead folks that people pray to. That's necromancy. Don't worship the dead people. Folks are dead, they're dead till they come back to life. I'll let that drop right there. Okay. For I want you to get this next sentence. Now look at verse 12. For all who do these things are an abomination to the God. Now, up in front it said the acts were abominations. They were detestable acts. But if you do them, you become an abomination to God. Do you see that? Because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. I want you to go down to verse 16. For the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from your midst, from your brothers, him you shall hear. Now, if you read Acts 7:34, you will see that Stephen identified that prophet as the Lord Jesus Christ. And also Peter identified him in his sermon before the Sanhedrin, after they raised the man at the beautiful gate. And they said that prophet was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the people from Islam, the Mohammedans, the Muslims will tell you that prophet is Mohammed. They will say that prophet is Mohammed. But that prophet is the Lord Jesus Christ, as identified by Peter and Stephen, and confirmed by the Holy Ghost through the mouth of Peter and Stephen. Put it that way. And he said, him you will hear and him you will follow. You don't go ask the devil. Well, praise you, Lord God. Acts 7 and Peter is Acts 3:22. Okay. Let's look at Leviticus 19:13. See what that says. Leviticus 19:13. 16. Okay. 19:31. Give no regard to me and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them. Be defiled by them, for I am the Lord your God. I have, well, praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's go ahead. Leviticus 20, verse 6 and 7. Leviticus 20, verse 6. Person who turns after me and a familiar spirit to prostitute themselves with them, I will set my face against that person, cut him off from his people. That means he'll kill him. Verse 27 says, a man or woman who's a median or has familiar spirits will be surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. That's how God feels about it. Let's look at 1 Samuel now, 28. You remember Samuel went to a median, Saul, and brought up Samuel. I'm sorry, that's right. And what was the consequences of this? In 1 Chronicles 10:13, in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness which he committed against the God, because he did not keep the word of God, and because he consulted a median for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he, God, killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. That's what it says right there. I'm reading the Bible. It says God, he, God, killed him. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's look at 1 Chronicles. Let's look at 2 Kings 21. 2 Kings 21, 6. And he's talking about Massa. He said he made his sons pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, consulted spirituals and mediums, and did much evil in the sight of the Lord. And he said he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. God said, I won't forgive that. And I had somebody once say to me, that's not right. The only sin that God said he would not forgive is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That is an individual. God will not forgive a nation when they continue to pour out blood. And he brought punishment on the nation of Israel. He sent them to exile. And our nation has killed over 20 million children have been sacrificed on the God of self, the great God, me, myself, and I, the ungodly trilogy, me, myself, and I, for personal gain, for personal prestige, for personal convenience. Our nation, you need to pray and ask God to forgive our nation for the shedding of so much innocent blood. For the blood of these children cry out from the grave. The blood has not been covered. You need to cover it and pray. The occult was revived in England about 150 years ago with the spiritualist church, about 60 or 70 years ago in this country. It exploded in the last 30 years. You see it in spiritualism. There are spiritualist churches. You see it in Christian Science. You see it with the explosion of the use of hypnosis. What is hypnosis? What happens when someone hypnotizes you? You have the dentist wanting to hypnotize you so he can take your teeth out. That's the person who has a familiar spirit. And if you will submit to that familiar spirit, it will come into you and make you not feel pain. And it will cause you all kinds of problems, depending on what it is. If you ever been hypnotized, you need deliverance. If you ever sat in the room while somebody else was being hypnotized, you need deliverance. The New Age mind control, yoga. How many of y'all ever been to relaxation exercises where you sit around and you put your feet together and you put your hands down and you sit and you take deep breaths in and you sort of chant and in with the good air and out with the bad air? I mean, it is very common in the rest in the nursing homes and in the senior citizen centers. They teach them to chant these relaxing messages. It's called transcendental meditation. Now, if you really get initiated in transcendental meditation, you come in and you go through a ceremony, and you have a transcendental meditation practitioner who has memorized a bunch of prayers in Sanskrit. I have a copy of the prayer, both in Sanskrit and English, and it's to the great God Varuna. You bring a handkerchief and a flower and a camphor candle. You light the candle. You lay the offering on the altar, on the table. Let's put it down on the table. Light the candle. Bow down to it, and then you repeat this prayer. And then when you're getting through, then you're given your mantra, which is the name of a Hindu god, that you have to repeat. And that's what you're to repeat when you're sitting there and you sit there and you repeat this thing. And what you're doing is you're calling this evil god, this evil demon, to come into you. Now, it'll lower your blood pressure. It sure will. And you get to feeling so relaxed, but it's got a hook in it. You get a demon. It'll give you cancer. Give you ulcerative colitis, you migraine headaches, you know, a few other things. He may wait a year or two, give you rage and anger, and you won't even know it. People will say something's happened to you. Why, nothing happened to me. I feel fine. Nothing wrong with me. And I said, boy, I'll tell you, there's something strange about her or him. That's the manifestation of the demon. Yoga. You ever been in Lamaze? That's yoga. That's hala yoga, the highest form of yoga. No self-respecting Hindu guru would introduce you to hala yoga without you spending 15 years in the lower forms until you learn how to control the kundalini spirit that you bring in with the hala yoga. It's based on the flow of the yin and the yang, and you open the chunka channel up the middle. You close your chunk of channels on the side, and you open the one in the middle, and you stand with your back straight so this serpentine devil can come up. You awaken him, and you'll spend the next 15 years swinging with mad swings from sanity to gladness. What does that sound like? Bipolar. Y'all ever heard of that? Bipolar. Oh, that's a metabolic imbalance. Didn't you know that? And you're supposed to take all these drugs to get your metabolic back into balance. But it don't ever cure you. It makes you feel better. Make you where you can least function in society. But you don't get any better. It don't cure you. Passive mind. That's when you sit and you open your mind. It talks about it in War on the Saints, the dangers of the passive mind. Watchman Nee talks about it in his book, The Spiritual Man. The passive mind, open your mind up. Ladies in the Episcopal Church there that I was a member of, one of the ladies came back and she had this wonderful experience. And I said, well, tell me about it. Oh, you need to experience it. I said, you tell me about it first. Oh, I can't tell you about it. You got to experience it. Anybody tell you that, boy, you better just sort of back up and say, uh-huh, that's like the people that want you to come into this secret organization, and they swear you to secrecy before they tell you what they're getting you into. Make you swear all kind of oaths that you're going to cut your throat and burn your intestines and God knows what else. Well, they let you in on the secrets. Well, what they were doing, of course, was just old-fashioned spiritualism and opening their mind and passive mind and imploring the spirit to come in. And, of course, a familiar spirit would come and come in these people and have all these wonderful visions, and they wandering in the field with Jesus. Walking across the lily field with Jesus. How you know it's Jesus? Well, it looks like Jesus. Well, how do you know what Jesus looks like? There's not one word in this book that tells you what he looks like. You don't even know what color his hair was. Not one reference in there to how tall he was or anything else. Now, there are a lot of artist conception in the Pope's art library. At the Vatican, they have 1,700 different interpretations of what Jesus looks like. Different inspired paintings. There are certain churches you can go into in which the monks will fast for 30 days and they will paint a fresco and put it on a wall and dedicate it. And this is supposed to be an inspired image of Jesus. Jesus said, don't make unto thyself any graven image of anything under the... Jesus wants you to know what he looked like. There'd be a picture of him. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But I tell you, you don't walk with Jesus in no pasture like that. I said, do you challenge him? So what do you mean you challenge him? Do you ask him? Well, he told me he's Jesus. I said, did you ask him to acknowledge that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh? They said, do what? I said, well, I got the book out and showed it to him. They said, well, no, we know it's Jesus. I wouldn't insult him or something like that. Praise God. I just felt very sorry for them. I tried to talk to them. That lady eventually went crazy. Eventually, she wound up in a mental hospital. She fell into adultery. She divorced her husband, and she moved in. And she was a pastor's wife, and she divorced her husband, and she moved in, and she was 40 years old, and she moved in with a 20-year-old man who didn't have a job, and she was supporting him, and then she eventually wound up in the mental hospital. Those spirits drove her crazy. Those divination spirits. Familiar spirits. And y'all ever been to a fortune teller? Anybody ever been to a fortune teller? Ever been with anybody to go to a fortune teller? If you did, you cursed your children, cursed yourself, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Ever played with the Ouija board? Y'all know what the Ouija board is. Parker Brothers makes $3 or $4 million a year. See the little thing move back and forth? Well, I wouldn't. I just wouldn't. I didn't really play. I didn't really believe it. I just wanted to see what happened. Well, I hope you enjoyed it. Of course, you cursed your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and yourself. Anybody ever been involved in water witching, dowsing? And your plumbers ever gotten the sticks and walked across there to locate the mains and watch the sticks turn and point over the mains? Huh? That's all divination. Never been involved in table tipping? Know what table tipping is? That's what you put the table up there and you put it on two things and it tips back and forth and you ask it questions. Yes, it tips this way. No, it tips that way. Ever been in levitation? You know what levitation is? That's when you put one finger under, everybody gets around and they go to the pajama party or the slumber party and all the girls get around, they stick their finger under one person and everybody picks them up. You ever played Mary Worth? Know what Mary Worth is? That's when you get in front of the mirror and you say, Mary Worth, Mary Worth, Mary Worth. You say it 13 times and the demon will appear in the mirror. That's not funny. It's real. There's a little group up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Sweet little Christian kids. They were all at the slumber party and somebody said, I want to show you this new game I heard about. I was at. And so they got the mirror out and they put it up and they said, Mary Worth, Mary Worth, Mary Worth. And the demon appeared in the picture, came out, played the piano for him. Now, every good spiritual church got a spirit to play the piano for him. And then the spirit went into the girl, went into one of the girls. She's 16 years old. She's 15 years old. Girl got up that night, left, went out into the roughest part of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and attached herself to a pimp. And said like she'd been trained all her life to be a whore. A prostitute. Parents tried to find her. People would tell them that they saw her. She was down there and they saw her. People were scared to go down that section of town, you know. But they say, I saw Janie down there. Yeah, she's on the street. And they hired private detectives. And finally, after 2 years, they found her. They fasted, they prayed, and God brought her home. A friend of mine went over and prayed with her and released her from that spirit and then from all the other demons she'd picked up on the street. And then they got the whole story of what happened. The sad thing was that she was then 17 years old. And the good Christian people would not accept her back. They had to leave town. I mean, they treated that girl like she had leprosy. I'm not going to let my daughter get near her. She's been a whore down in the town. I'm not going to let my daughter get near her. They had to move to another town and start over again. Now, it's sad that Christian people will not take back someone who's been redeemed out of the hand of the devil. That's just a sad commentary on human nature. But, I mean, terrible things can happen from divination. Just being present. I went in the emergency room 3 or 4 years ago, and I asked where all the nurses were, and they said, well, Aggie's doing her witchcraft. I said, she's doing her what? They said, well, when so-and-so's pregnant, and when she gets her pregnant, she straightens out this paperclip, and she holds it up over it, And if the sharp point points to the head, it's a boy. And if it points to the feet, it's a girl. He says, it's always right, Dr. No. Better than a sonogram. I said, my God. I said, you realize that she's cursing that child and that mother and everybody in the room for four generations? I said, that is divination. It's absolutely forbidden by the Word of God. It is witchcraft. And they all sort of snickered. And this lady came out and said, what are you telling them? I'll tell you, what you're doing is absolutely forbidden by the Word of God. And when you do it, you're cursing everybody in the room and yourself included. And she just laughed at me. I saw her last month. I said, Aggie, you don't look very good. She said, I'm in chemotherapy right now, doctor. I got two kinds of cancer. Two kinds. She died of cancer. Demons are killing her. Now, I didn't whoop her over the head with it. I didn't feel like I needed to beat her over the head and tell her that she was reaping what she sowed. I just said, God bless you, child. And I prayed for her and asked God to bless her. That's all I did. She's not saved. She doesn't know Jesus. I talked to her. She said she was eight, and she named her church. I said, do you know Jesus? And she told me she was a good card-carrying. Yeah. I said, praise the Lord, and I just asked God to bless her, and I asked for mercy and grace. That's all you can do. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I mean, you know. Crystal ball, Shishan sticks. That's a bunch of Chinese sticks, pickup sticks. They drop down, and he looks at them. You know, that's in the Bible. Let's look at Ezekiel. That's in the Bible. Look at Ezekiel. Chapter 20, I think it is. Chapter 21, I'm sorry. 21:21. The king of Babylon stands at the parting of the road, the fork of the two roads. He used divination. He shakes the arrows. That's a bunch of sticks. He shakes them and throws them on the ground. He consults the images. And he looks at the liver. It means he takes an animal and cuts them open and sees what kind of pattern the intestines make and everything. And Sharman will look at that and tell them and give them a reading. My Indian forebears and Harry S. used to have this bunch of snake bones, and they would scatter them out on the table and see what kind of pattern they made. That's all divination. Pendulum, put the pendulum up, see whether it swings to the right for yes, left for no. Spin the bottle. You know, played spin the bottle? Seances. Clairvoyance. You know what clairvoyance is? Somebody's clairvoyant has visions and they see things. They see what's happened in the past, see what's going to happen in the future. How many times you read about some murder and some clairvoyant said they saw it all happen, and they know what the murderer looks like? And the clairvoyant, the murder happened in Miami, and the clairvoyant's up in Minneapolis or someplace? Visions are real. ESP, precognition. Precognition is you know something happens before it happens. For instance, so, you know, the mailman comes and says, you go down and get that letter. Aunt Mary's written us a letter. And you go down and there's a letter from Aunt Mary in the mailbox. Now, if Aunt Mary writes every Friday, it's on Friday, then you know it's... But if Aunt Mary ain't written in 6 months, then it's ain't a letter from Aunt Mary. You go down and there's a letter. That's precognition. The most startling example I saw this occurred about 4 years ago when some people came over and asked us if we would send a delegation over to pray for this gentleman who was having all kind of witchcraft problems, and they wanted if we would come over and pray for him. So three of us drove over to the house, went in, and this man didn't want prayer. He didn't want prayer. These friends wanted prayer for him, but he didn't want prayer. So we were getting ready to leave after we'd passed pleasantries, and he submitted to us saying a few words over him. And about that time, we were getting ready to leave, and he said, Mary, you want on the phone? And then the phone rang. So I picked it up and said, Mary, telephone's for you. Now, that's precognition. He called her to the telephone before it rang. Witchcraft. That's divination. Now, this poor boy was an alcoholic. He'd been in an insane asylum a couple of times and so forth. Handwriting analysis, stargazing, astrology, horoscopes, zodiac. I want you all to look at Isaiah 47. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 47. Everybody wants a scripture because all their friends that read the Zodiac say, where does it say so in the Bible? Well, I'll show you where it says so in the Bible. Isaiah 47, starting with verse 13. Everybody got Isaiah 47. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Now let the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly pronosticators stand up and save you from these things which will come hold, shall come upon you. Behold, they shall be as the stubble, and the fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. That's pretty straightforward. There are lots of places where it says don't worship the host of heaven. But folks say that's not, people will tell you that's not the zodiac. It is. And realize that the queen of heaven is in the zodiac. The queen of heaven has been worshipped in the Babylon system for years. It speaks of it in the last three chapters of Jeremiah profusely, if you want to read it. Anybody says that they worship the queen of heaven, their church is named so-and-so the queen of heaven. Know where it came from. Okay. Hypnosis and mind reading. You know, only God can read your mind. The devil can't read your mind. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 6:30. 2 Chronicles 6:30. Here Solomon is praying to God, and it says, "Then hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive, and give to everyone according his ways whose hearts you know, for you alone know the hearts of men." Now Hebrews 4:13 says that he is that the Word of God, meaning Jesus Christ, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And if you want to look at 1 Samuel 16, it says when Jesse brought all of his sons out, you know, and Samuel looked at that first one, boy, he's a nice, fine-looking young man, and God said, "Pass him on. For I don't look at the outside as man as I look at the heart." That's 1 Samuel 16:7. Astral projection, soul travel, thought projection, and the ability to materialize. And so what do you mean materialize? Well, to be physically transported. Is that in the Bible? Well, yes, it's in the Bible. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. Here we have the case of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, 35 to 40. Starting with verse 38, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. So the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Ashdod, about 40 miles away. God picked him up and moved him." And remember this, for every spiritual gift, there's a spiritual counterfeit. The great Houdini died trying to dematerialize and materialize. The great escape artist, his great feat was to be based on the ability to dematerialize and rematerialize. The demons told him they would do it for him. He drowned. They stood him upside down in a bunch of water-filled chambers. They broke the chambers when it was obvious he wasn't going to be rematerialized. But he died as a result of it. I've forgotten all the details. But his great, he wanted to, demons killed him. They told him they'd do it for him, but they didn't. Did it ever occur to y'all the devil will lie to you? Huh? Yeah. Astral projection. That means to project your mind or your thoughts. Soul travel. Those are all demonic skills. I won't go into them. I'll tell you they're very real. I can tell you from very personal experience they're very real. They bring a curse on you. They open you to demonic control. I could talk all day about people that I worked with who've been in them. And the terrible things I've seen happen to people because they were in them. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for protecting me. Lord, I thank you that you protected me. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you protected me and brought me here for such a day as this. Now, I can talk for another 2 hours on this. Those are all divination arts. And there are a lot more. There are a lot more I haven't talked about. And it's the attempt to obtain knowledge or wisdom from the enemy. Remember this, that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Do you know that the Japanese ended World War II with the same weapons they started? They fought 4 years of battle with us. And they ended the war with the same, and they're very innovative people. But they did not have any revelation to improving their weapons. They got all their weapons and all their technology from this country. Now, Germany continued to develop new weapons. The difference is Japan was heathen and Germany was basically an evangelical Christian nation that fell under the power of an evil dictator. Germany ran out the Jewish community that Dr. Niels Bohr carried with him running from the Gestapo the evidence that U-238 was fissionable. Because they developed it for Germany, but the Gestapo was going to kill them because they were Jewish. And they carried it out and brought it to this country in 1938, wrote President Roosevelt a letter. It wasn't until 1942 he started doing anything about it. They had Einstein write him a letter. Neil Bohr developed the proximity fuse and sidewinder missile based on his infrared pulsation theories. But the Russians and the Japs all stole that all from us, so we sold it to them, the Chinese, because they are Christian nations. And Japan, Germany's getting to be a Christian nation. China's getting to be a Christian nation. So you can expect them to start having revelation. Jesus Christ is the source of all wisdom. The devil has never known anything. Anything he ever knew, he stole from God. You go to him for revelation, you're not going to get anything but what God has already shown him. What he's stolen from God. He's a counterfeit. He'll steal everything. He doesn't know anything original. Praise you, Lord Jesus. What do? Well, I tell you, you need to confess if you've been involved in anything, or if your ancestors have been involved in any of these things, you need to confess it. I'm going to lead you in a confession to break the sins of your ancestors. And if you've been involved in these things, you need to confess it as sin. And ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and break the curse on you and your children forever. And then you need to command that demon to come out of you. Because if you got involved in it, I can tell you a demon went into you. Irma can give you a very vivid testimony of the being under the curse of the fortune teller. Irma has a beautiful testimony on being under the curse of the fortune teller. You need to be lifted off. We'll have it lifted off of you. We need to confess that, and we need to ask God to deliver you. And he who calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Let's all stand up now, please. It's always said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. We need to jump up and down and praise God a little bit and get your blood down, working up out of your feet back up to your brain. Exercise. Get your blood. Get the blood that's all stagnated down in your legs working. Let your fanny breathe a little bit. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And praise God, people. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Then we're going to have a little coming out party. Praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Praise your name. Oh, Jesus. I don't hear y'all praising God any. Just me. Praise your Lord Jesus. Come on, praise him, people. He inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. Through the praises, through the mouths of babes and certain, he's perfected praise that he might silence the devil, the accuser of the brethren. When you praise him, he silences the devil. Hallelujah. Your praises silence the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord Jesus. You raise up a throne in your heart for him to sit on, for he inhabits your praises. Is enthroned in them. Praise your Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord God. Thank you for my brother, Lord God. Set him free, Lord. Turn him loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn him loose, all of you. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Lord God. Praise your Lord. Oh, he inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah. Let's raise up our hands, people. Say, dear Lord, I love you. I believe Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God, was manifested in the flesh, died on the cross for my sin, was dead, buried, was resurrected from the dead for my justification, ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for me. He is my Redeemer, kinsman. He is my Savior. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am a member of the family of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we praise you. Everybody can have a seat now. Hallelujah. I want you to repeat after me. Say, dear Lord,
I confess
that in the past I have made bad decisions. I have sinned against you, seeking knowledge from sources other than the Holy Spirit. I confess this is sin. And I ask you to forgive me. In the blood of Jesus Christ, I break the curse on me and my lineal descendants forever. In the name of Jesus, I hold up my ancestors to you. I repent of all their sin. And I ask forgiveness that the curse might be broken on me and my lineal descendants forever. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of the occult, of witchcraft, of sorcery, of divination. In the name of Jesus, I break all curses that were spoken against me from any source. In the name of Jesus, I break all jinxes, all roots. In the name of Jesus, I break all ungodly soul ties. In the name of Jesus, to anyone who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God, I release them to you, Lord Jesus. Ask you to bless them. Call back my soul. In the name of Jesus, release any foreign soul from me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I break any bonds to the enemy. In the name of Jesus. As a result of past sin or sins of my ancestors, I loose myself. In the name of Jesus. From all these bonds, all these curses, all these sins, in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ has covered my sins, has washed them away, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I confess that there are certain people I have not loved. I have rather resented them, Lord. I ask forgiveness on the blood of Jesus. I forgive everyone who's ever hurt me, who's ever used me, who's ever abused me in any way. I forgive them and ask you to bless them and bring them to salvation. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I break any soul ties to them. In the name of Jesus. And release them to you. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I confess that I have committed sexual sin in the past. Specifically the sin. At this time, if you've committed any sexual sin that God brings to your mind, repeat it very quietly under your breath. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your word says, if we confess our sin, you're faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I accept your cleansing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your word says,
Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I now call on you as my deliverer, as my redeemer kinsman, to set me free of all those things that bind me, that torment me, that hurt me, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to put all you to put both feet flat on the floor. I'm going to call out some, we're going to call out some things. If it wants to come out, let it come. You worried about your dignity? I say this, if you got to make a choice between keeping your demons and keeping your dignity, let get rid of your demons. You can get your dignity back. You can get your dignity. I lay in my own vomit that's right over here and rolled in the floor. But praise God, I got free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I got up and took a shower. And you know, when I got up through my shower and put on clean clothes, nobody remembered the fact I was rolling my own vomit or so there. They just all so happy I got free. And we're happy for you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.